The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able. The flag salute will be led by Representative Huffman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our opening ceremonies will be presented by Representative Andy Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Morning, everybody. No, one more time. Good morning, everyone. That's good. That's good. Hey, one of the things I really enjoy studying about is leadership, and I just want to share three quick points with you about leadership and then go into prayer. But the Oregon State Police adopted the Marine Corps manual years ago during 1931, in August 1st, when it was created. And a portion of that talks about what the description of leadership is. And leadership is the art of directing men or women in such a way to obtain their respect, loyal cooperation, and confidence. That's the first point I want to share with you. Second point that I've learned from leadership was it dealt with failure, and I was really surprised that during 1995, when Chuck Krulak was the commandant for the Marine Corps, he instilled in the training of the Marines at that time for leadership what I call the 70-30 concept. That concept applies to basically you're teaching folks to make 70% of the time a right decision, giving you room and latitude and flexibility of 30% of the time failing or making a mistake. What they learn from that, as long as you learn from your mistake and move forward positively, it was just tremendous for the organization itself, to the point where it was even a story was done in Inc. magazine in the late, about 1999 for businesses. And the last point I'd like to share with you is a book, one of my favorite books on leadership from Bob Briner. He passed away in 1999. But real simple concept. His book was entitled Leadership Lessons of Jesus. He goes through the book of Mark. And, for example, there's one portion that he just takes a simple little verse and says, and Jesus taught. And he spent 2.5 pages developing that. But the point being is one of the greatest things that leaders do is teach. So those are three points on leadership that I just want to share with you. So let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, and truly, God, we want to just ask that you be with each of our families. Give traveling mercies to those who are going home this weekend, that you would also help them through Monday as well, Father, in their local communities. We need to lift up to you our president as well, Lord, and give him strength and wisdom as he moves forward through this day and this weekend as well, that his values would be that of yours. And then, Lord, too, we pray for the leadership in this building as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Courtesies. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like for everybody to extend courtesies of the House to a guest of mine today, Dr. Dixie Lund, interim president of Eastern Oregon University out of La Grande. Welcome.
Welcome. Glad you're here. For the courtesies, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to please extend courtesies to Caitlin Burke, who is my intern today and will be interning once a week for some time. She has graduated from Portland State University and is interested in housing issues. She'll be helping me work on the condo conversion process to make that a little bit more fair. Please offer her courtesies. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you'll help me welcome one of our honorary pages today. John Johnston is at the front. I've known John for most of his life. He is the younger brother of my chief of staff, Drew Johnston, and the son of one of our former colleagues, Brian Johnston. He thinks so much of public service that he's chosen to spend part of his spring break with us. and I hope that his aspirations with homework and other academic pursuits do not suffer as a result of his time with us today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome. Your dad would be proud to see you here. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege today to introduce my guest and the guest of the member from Southwest Clackamas County from Gilkey Middle School, Evan Hallmark. Evan is an eighth grader. His favorite subject is math. He's enjoying playing soccer and snowboarding and hopes to be a professional soccer player when he grows up. If Portland gets a Major League Soccer team, maybe we'll see him playing there in a few years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And thank you, Representative Barnhart, for reminding us that we have, for a second day, a whole series of students from Gilkey Middle School. Welcome to all of you. We're thrilled to have you here. Enjoy day two in the Capitol. Further courtesies? Let's now proceed with our moment in Oregon history. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. This morning's moment in history deals with cowgirls, and I find this quite interesting. The sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources, the Oregon History Project, and the Oregon Time Web. Cowgirls were among the first professional female athletes in the United States. Between 1890 and 1943, more than 450 women worked as professional cowgirls. Most learned their riding and roping skills on the farms and ranches where they grew up, performing the same work as their fathers and brothers. Many cowgirls also earned money at Wild West shows, local expositions, and in motion pictures. Bonnie McCarroll, Mabel Strickland, and Tad Lucas were some of the many professional cowgirls who competed at the Pendleton Roundup in Eastern Oregon, which has held separate events for men and women since its beginning in 1910. The Pendleton Roundup involved women in another capacity, the rodeo queen. In 1910, the Roundup was the first rodeo in the United States to crown a queen. Pendleton's very first queen, Bertha Anger, was selected based not on her riding skills, but on the number of tickets she sold to the Roundup. Colleagues, I might also brag a moment here. I have had three nieces who were rodeo princesses in Pendleton. At any rate, by the 1960s and 70s, rodeo queens were seen as many by role models for wholesome all-American values and traditional gender roles. Today, rodeo queens have more in common with their sister cowgirls, often chosen for their horsemanship and other rodeo skills. Our very own Pendleton Roundup remains an important part of farming and ranching culture in Oregon, a culture that women have had a fundamental part in creating and preserving. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Hanna. The clerk will now open the voting system to verify the presence of a quorum. Representative Greg Smith. Representative Smith is off the floor. Representative Tomei. Representative Tomei, off the floor. Excused, Representatives Jensen, Kenemer, Roblin, Jefferson Smith, and Thatcher. A quorum is present. Message from the governor.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the governor to inform you that he has approved to sign the following bills: House Bill 2162, 2420, 5034, and 5042.
Message from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to inform you that he has signed Senate Bill 160.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2065 and repass the bill.
Representative Barnhart moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2065 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate added a conflict amendment to deal with the fact that there's a section of ORS which is being modified by this bill and also by another bill that has already been passed. There are no other changes. Colleagues, you will recall that this is the bill that makes technical changes to Oregon tax statutes and should have no actual change in the tax law. And I believe it passed by a very large majority. I don't recall the exact vote when we approved it before sending it to the Senate. I urge your aye vote to concur and send this on to the governor.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barnhart, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2065 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Krieger votes aye. House Bill 2065B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions? First reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3464, relating to driver privileges for wards and declaring an emergency.
Bill is read for the first time and passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2163, relating to military justice. House Bill 2278, relating to judgment remedies for child support. House Bill 2343, relating to mental incapacitation. House Bill 2453, relating to lawyer-client privilege.
Bill is read for the second time or passed to the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2560, relating to county clerk recording of instruments, prohibits alteration of certified copy of recorded instrument when recording corrected document, allows recording of certified copy if attached to cover sheet.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2560. Colleagues, we have a series of these, so the more we can actually vote during the 30 seconds, the quicker we can get through them all. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. House Bill 2560, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2759, relating to recordation of instruments in county records.
The question arises.
Creates form from correction of errors in recorded trust deed.
Thank you, Obie. Sorry about that. The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2759. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Call, how do you vote? Call votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Maurer votes aye. House Bill 2759, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2822, relating to ways of necessity for private sewer lines, establishes way of necessity for private sewer lines, sets condition for use.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2822. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2822, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2871, relating to reinstatement fee, directs Department of Transportation to waive reinstatement fee for a person whose driving privileges were suspended from withdrawing from school before age 18.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2871. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Huffman votes aye. House Bill 2871, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 286, relating to foreign country judgments, enacts Uniform Foreign Country Money Judgments Recognition Act.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 286. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 286, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 370, relating to limited judgments, allows entry of limited judgment for decision on request for award of expenses of personal representative.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 370. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Call, how do you vote? Representative Call votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Esquivel votes aye. Senate Bill 370, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Representative Gilman. I'm sorry, Representative. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2040, relating to roadside assistance.
So the question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2040A. Representative Gilman.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that House Bill 2040 be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation.
Representative Gilman moves that House Bill 2040A be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker, we tried to define speed in the bill and didn't quite get it right. We need to take it back. It'll just take us a week or so, and it'll be back here.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gilman, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. We're going to do a voice vote on this one, colleagues. Those who are of the opinion that House Bill 2040A should be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation will say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed will say no. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2386, we do voter registration and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2386A. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I hold up my microphone. Today's bill, House Bill 2386, comes to you on a unanimous vote from the Rules Committee. Appreciate the good work of the chair of that committee and members to bring this to you in good form. This bill would direct the Secretary of State to implement an online voter registration system. So let me be clear, this is not online voting, it has nothing to do with online voting. It would direct the Secretary of State to implement an online voter registration system. My inspiration for this bill came a year ago when a student then at Reed College contacted me with an inquiry about why we can't register to vote online. He pointed out that in the states of Washington and Arizona, these systems were in place and were successful. We began to investigate, and working most recently with our new Secretary of State, found a way to bring this bill forward. So why do it? Well, Oregonians pay bills online, they check their bank accounts online, they rent movies online, they pay taxes online. We can change our address with the U.S. Postal Service or DMV online. And with this bill, we can bring our voter registration system into the 21st century by allowing people to register to vote online. I want to be clear, this is an add-on to the current system, not a replacement. So the paper registration system, with which we're all familiar, will continue in the same manner. Talk briefly about security. The same methods and rigors that are used to ensure the validity of voter registration cards today will be used under a voter online system, registration system, to ensure the validity of those registrations. A registrant would first have to indicate under penalty of law that they are a citizen, that they are 17 years old, just like on the current form. And in order to use this online registration system, an Oregon driver's license or Oregon ID number will be required. The registrant's signature will be taken from DMV and used to match against the signature that they supply on their ballot when they vote through the mail. Arizona has been using an online voter registration system since 2003, and Washington has been using online voter registration since the beginning of last year, giving us secure and successful systems to emulate. And here are the results. Arizona witnessed a 10% increase in voter registration during the first year of implementing their system, and now over 72% of their voter registrations are completed online. This will be a fabulous and effective tool in helping provide access to the ballot for Oregonians. Oregon has federal funds that will help pay for this upgrade to our voter registration system. The Help America Vote Act, known as HAVA, passed by Congress in 2001, gave Oregon funding to increase voter access. This upgrade to our registration system is eligible for funding under HAVA, which means there will be no impact on the state's general fund. We know that in addition to generally increasing voter registration, online voter registration will in particular improve voter participation among young people, people with disabilities, people who are confined to their homes. With that, I encourage your iVote and look forward to any discussion on this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, there's been a lot of questions on what kind of a system this is. There's been a lot of questions on what we have and with this, will it expand it or take away from the system. If you recall, in the previous sessions, we had a bill that required verification of your presence here in order to register in the state of Oregon to vote anyway. This is a step in that direction as we verify now your presence here in the state of Oregon with our driver's license. This is the beginning of that process that we had so went forward with, and I believe it was the 2005 or 2007 session that we had this same discussion. So, colleagues, what this does, this bill is better than what we have in place. It will continue to get better as it goes longer, because of the verification process through the Department of Motor Vehicles. Today, if I pick up a registration card, there's no verification at all. Hopefully we'll get your iVote, because this is a step in the right direction for all Oregonians.
Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to be a no vote today, and I'd like to explain why. First of all, I think online voter registration is a good idea. I support the concept behind the bill. However, there is a change that could be made to the bill that would allow me to vote for it, and that change has not been made. The current system of voter registration is not secure, because we only ask a person to attest to being a legal citizen, and we don't ask them to provide any proof of that, something that some of us have repeatedly, I haven't been in previous sessions, but I know my colleagues have repeatedly asked for that to be rectified, and it is not. There is a letter on our desks from Secretary Brown, and I want to read a line of it to you. She says, "Still, I know that some may have questions about the security of such a system, but I believe that Oregon's online system will be every bit as secure as the current system." That is the problem. The current system is not secure. And we are not being asked and have not been asked to vote on approving the current system as it is. And I suggest we would have quite a debate if we did. And we aren't doing anything to rectify that. But we are being asked to expand the current system with its flaws online. And that's the part that I can't go along with today, because this I have to vote on. So the concern is that the online system will allow people to use their driver's license to register. And under the change that has been made with our driver's license recently, in which people are required to provide proof of citizenship, that's fantastic. The problem is that lots of people still have the old driver's licenses. And there are many, many people, thousands of people, who are not legal, who cannot legally vote, who have those driver's licenses. And it will be 6 years, as we rotate those driver's licenses out, before we will have the system where we know the people who have driver's license have shown proof of citizenship. So if the bill simply allowed online voter registration, but only using the driver's licenses that have been adjusted and corrected in the last year or so, it would be a good bill, and I could support it. And over the next 6 years, it would basically phase in, and 6 years from now, anybody with a driver's license could use the system. I would submit that election integrity is more important than bill paying and many other things that people can do online. I do want people to be able to register online. But in August, I stood here as the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court swore me in, and I took an oath of office. And I consider probably the most important element of that oath of office to protect the integrity of the election system. Everything else that we do for the public is based on their fundamental belief that the election system is secure and that the election results are fair. As I said, if we simply made that adjustment and only allowed the more current driver's licenses to be used, I could support the bill. As it is, today I'm being asked to vote to ratify or to accept and expand a current system that I don't think ensures fair elections. So I will be a no vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Very briefly, I appreciate the comments from my colleagues. Quickly to the election, the integrity of our election system. You know, no member of this chamber, I'm sure, wants to do anything that would undermine the integrity of the election system. And I want to point out that it would still be a felony to misrepresent yourself using this online voter registration system. And not only that, and this, you know, goes to the comments of our colleague from Medford, who pointed out that this actually requires the registrant to go through an additional step of getting that driver's license number verified by DMV, so there would be a kind of connection and a check that would help strengthen the integrity of our election system. This bill will, in fact, take us a significant step forward towards a secure, hassle-free system of voter registration, and I encourage your aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. House Bill 2386A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 155 relating to chief medical officers of state institutions and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 271 relating to fees of the Oregon Tax Court.
Bills read for the second time were passed to the third reading calendar. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House, other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, seated at my desk today, I would
I think, Representative Matthews, you're requesting unanimous consent to return the order of courtesy.
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Matthews requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Proceed, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My apologies. Colleagues, seated at my desk today is an intern that's been with me since the beginning of session. Today will be his last day working in the office. He's a full-time student with Oregon State University, studying political science, will graduate in June. And this is Stuart Bradley. So I know that we have done a great deal of recognition on the folks that help serve us. Here's a student that not only volunteers in his community as brothers and sisters helping them, but also as a full-time student. And I want to thank Stuart, and please join me in welcoming and thanking him for his service to the Oregon State Legislature. Thank you, Stuart.
Still under the order of courtesies, Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome in the gallery a group of 9th and 10th grade students from Beaverton School of Science and Technology. It's part of the Merlot Station High School in Beaverton and a science magnet school. They offer courses in life, physical and earth sciences, math, computers, as well as a rich variety of language arts and social studies classes. They're in the Capitol for the day, touring, and along with their teachers, Stephanie Weldon, Eric Passes, Joel Laney, Kimberly Hurd, Jack Patrick, Andrew Bagley, and Mary Peterson. Thank you for please welcoming them to our Capitol.
Welcome to your House of Representatives. Enjoy your day. Further courtesies? Then we will return to announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will caucus immediately following close of session today. Thank you.
Further announcements. Representative Berger.
Colleagues and science students, in my office are a lot of balloons that don't need to be popped. So my office is 479. Anyone who has children or a program or a science experiment that requires balloons, please come by my office and pick up as many as you want.
Colleagues, a reminder that we will not have a floor session on Monday. Monday is an in-district day, so enjoy not having to commute to Salem. We will be back on Tuesday for floor session. Any further announcements? Remonstrances? Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, a little bit of good news. I just wanted to acknowledge the confirmation of Jane Lubchenco, an Oregon State University professor, who yesterday was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere. She'll be the 9th administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is the nation's top science agency for climate, oceans, and the atmosphere. Dr. Lubchenco is the first woman and the first marine ecologist to lead the organization. She is obviously a great role model, great representative of the state and Oregon State and our system of higher ed, and congratulations to Dr. Lubchenco.
Further remonstrances, Representative Call.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to let everybody know that my Portland State Vikings are playing Xavier this evening in Boise, Idaho, in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and I would just like to say, go Vikings.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adjourn until Tuesday, March 24th at 10:15 a.m.
Representative Tomei moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Tuesday, March 24th, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.